بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس معادن كمعادن الذهب والفضة او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected elders, friends, youngsters and brothers, you find it's a common feature in the life of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in, and obviously they draw from the fountainhead of all piety, Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they had this common feature that they would try to reap and gain maximum sawab, maximum rewards. And in the light of the hadith of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll find many such actions which a person has to do very little, but the rewards are immense. So the mind and the frame set of the mind of the Sahaba, you know, the frame of mind was such that all the time they worked for the Akhirat. Now just to give a simple example, imagine the Sahabi is in the battlefield and he's close to his death. He's about to become a shaheed. And from what we read and hear, that at the time of death, a person feels very thirsty. Many times you hear a person says, his last, you know, morsel or the last thing that he took was some zamzam. He was feeling thirsty. So at the time of being, of passing away from this world, the Sahabi needs water. But imagine that that crunch moment, when he needs the water, he's leaving this world, somebody else also wants water. And then you know the entire incident. What I'm extracting from there, even at that moment, which is a very, very, you know, it's a crunch time of a person's life. He needs that water, he's leaving this world. He looks towards the Akhirat, how can I gain rewards? Likewise, another example, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look how their mind frame was. Look how they used to think. He's got the enemy pinned down. And the enemy, to insult him, spits upon his face. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu just leaves him after that. See, isn't it the crunch moment, if he took the knife or the sword or whatever it was and sent that person to hell, who would have questioned him? But even at that crunch moment, looking that I must not miss the boat, I must get the maximum rewards. So in the life of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the noble words, the hadith of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there'll be many such, you know, occasions when a person is directed that, look, do this and you get such a great reward. For example, the Ishraq Salah, the one that comes 10 to 15 minutes after the sunrise. If a person does not have a clock and doesn't know how the time works, a simple way to ascertain this will be to look at the shadow that comes on the wall. The sun has risen to a certain point. You can get some understanding that now the sun is strong. So just by performing the 2 rakats of salah and accepted Hajj and Umrah, 2 minutes for such a great reward. So the mindset is that how we can gain maximum rewards. Likewise, performing the Awabin salah, person will read 6, right up to 20 rakats. But for the 6 rakats that a person will read, a person will get 12 years of nafil sawab, nafil ibadat sawab. Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum. A person will recite this. I did a calculation. If they take 5 times a day, if they read it after every salah, then the only thing that's left for the person to go into Jannat is to pass away. But for 2.5 minutes, a person is getting such a great reward. So I think so we have established the fact that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had trained the Sahaba, and through his teachings we can clearly understand that we have to aim for maximum rewards. So the topic for today, drawing from what we have just heard as an introduction, is the acknowledgement and the appreciation and the association of the dini works that are taking place in our current time. Now we must bear in mind, all the dini works are important, and Allah Ta'ala give them barakat also. But I cannot mention every dini work because of the brevity of time. So whatever came to mind, I put pen to paper. But all those people that are working with ikhlas, which Allah Ta'ala can only judge, and they're following the teachings of the akabirin in what they are doing, we are now talking about the acknowledgement and the appreciation and the association of these efforts. When a person will look at the general dini works that are taking place in and around our time, this modern era, one such work is a work of ta'lim. Now I labeled it as ta'lim, means learning and teaching, but under that there is a whole host of elaborations. Example, the maktab system, the Darul Ulooms, where a person studies the alim course, the hifz classes. Likewise, you get people who are writing kitabs, monthly journals and periodicals that are coming out, imparting of knowledge through bayanat. These all fall under the category of ta'lim that we have to appreciate, and we have to, you know, acknowledge that they are doing a great service. We will go into detail, but first I'm just calling out the different khidmat that came to mind. The next very important khidmat of deen that we see that has brought many people on the sirat al-mustaqim, as we will say, is the work of the khanka and tazkiya and tasawuf, islahi work that is taking place. Likewise, we have the tablighi jamaat work that is taking place, where people sacrifice yearly, monthly, weekly and daily for the sake of deen. Then we have those works of deen which we term in Arabic as khidmat khalq. In other words, the rights of people, or seeing to the humanitarian needs of people. Now this subject is very vast, and I'm making it categorically clear. There's very mature people seated in front of me. If I left somebody out, that is not because of any prejudice, but there's a limit to how much a man can put pen to paper. So just on a cursory glance, alhamdulillah, you have works where ulama bodies are together and they form a jamiat, they're serving the ummah. Then you have Islamic services where ihsan and kindness is shown to mankind, the ihsan services. Help is shown to mankind at a critical juncture, the imdad services. These are all services of deen. Likewise, we have the halal bodies that see to it that the Muslim, that they must get what is approved by Shariat, and they do not consume something that is haram and destroy the amals and destroy the akhirat. Like we have the halal bodies, we have the hilal bodies also. In other words, those that see the moon and they guide our calendar, which is a very intrinsic part of our deen. Then we have those that have got together to worry about the prison boards, and we have many NGOs. Likewise, we have those people that are in the orphanage work, they sing to the yatims. And then we see people that worry about the old as well. And in the same stride of acknowledging people that are serving the ummah, we cannot forget the burial society, that those people that are doing the work of kafan and dafan, how much they are going out of their way to see to it that the ummah, you know, is running in its correct stride, in its correct speed. And at the same time, in doing the works of deen, we acknowledge the ulama kiram. We acknowledge the imams of the masjid. We acknowledge the muazzins that are calling out the adhan. And likewise, We acknowledge each and every person that is doing some khidmat of deen that is known and unknown. Now what I have mentioned here, everybody knows about it. But then I read something very interesting. There's many people in this world, everybody knows them. And then there's some people in this world, nobody knows them, but Allah knows them. So both are accepted, because some works you can't do it hidden. It has to be alanian. It has to be open, and you have to do it openly. But there's many people working for the wheel of deen to turn. So my message this afternoon is to acknowledge that these people are keeping the deen alive. When a person will acknowledge this, then there's great progress awaiting for the person. Now I'm quoting Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Devla Sahab, Damat Barakatum Hafizahullah. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat has graced our shores many times, and this very spot where I'm seated, this is the spot exactly where he would address us when he comes here sometimes. So Maulana, in one of his bayans, mentioned something which I want to share with you. See, to associate with every work of deen, it's such a thing that not everybody can achieve, you know. Because once you take up a line, for example, you're teaching in the Darul Ulum, and we're going to open up that, the amount of time that goes in checking those kitabs and preparing the lessons so that the ulama to be have the correct message in the light of Quran and Hadith is not a walk in the park, you know. It's something that takes time. Sometimes they sit for about 4 hours. Now to take that alim who's doing mudarrisi, dars, you know, teaching the dars, and to say, now you must do burial work. Now he has to be fresh in the morning to impart his knowledge. So you say, look, you can't participate in everything. So in the same line, Maulana gave us an example on how to benefit from all these works. One is to acknowledge them. And I will quote by Padia Rahmatullah Ali in the same sentence, that he said, look, I can remember Haji Bhai Rahmatullah Ali mentioning this. Allah gave us opportunity to spend a few minutes with Haji Sahab during his lifetime. Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to say that, look, that hifz class that is taking place in the masjid, I am supposed to be teaching. The kitabs that are being taught in the Darulum, I am supposed to be doing it. The work of Islam, I am supposed to be doing it. Helping the orphans, I'm supposed to be doing it. But I'm involved in this work of Jamaat work, so they are doing my work, and I acknowledge them. So Maulana Ibrahim Sahab, Damat Barakatum Hafizahullah, mentions in this bayan of his, that look, for the works of deen, once you have caught a line of work that you're doing properly, that you say, look, I've got love for every work of deen, but this is what I'm concentrating on. And he says, take the name of every work that is taking place. Now, I've given a list. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the people that are involved in ta'lim, as our brother Ilyas has mentioned it, he's mentioned all this. Allah ta'ala, accept the maktab work. So all the makatib of the world, you're getting the reward of it. Allahu Akbar. Make dua for every effort of deen. However, to understand the depth of the every effort, now for the next few minutes, I'm going to go into each effort and unpack the strength and the energies that people are putting behind this effort. I have mentioned about the Darul Ulums, how the ustaz have to learn or go over their work, mutala they have to do till late at night. So we have acknowledged them. In the maktab line, that is my line as well, so I can quote about it quite clearly. They say it is a battle of swimming upstream. Because you're dealing with people that are 22 hours away in another environment, and 2 hours you got them in the afternoon. So all those muallims and muallimat, apas and hufas that are involved in a maktab work, we take out time today to say that, look, these people are doing good work. And my dear friends, just look in our own life. We're all going to read our sunnah shortly, right? Some will read Alam Tara Kaifa, some will read Kul Adhra Bil Falak, whatever. Where we learn that? In the maktab. So we acknowledge the maktab efforts. Likewise, those people that are writing kitabs, do you know what it takes to put pen to paper? I'm not talking about cut and paste now. They research all of this, and they pack it into something that the ummah can read and understand. So we salute those people that are taking out kitabs and they are printing some type of pamphlets for the masjid board or sending something in a WhatsApp form or an email form that the ummah must benefit. Then we have the effort of khanqa, which I mentioned. My dear brothers, there's a great misconception about what is the khanqa. Say, no, it's a place where people make zikr. Yes, zikr takes place in the khanqa, but we are misunderstood. Because zikr you can make anywhere. There's something happening there in that islahi work that we need to understand, or we need to refresh rather. That when a person goes in the line of tasawuf, actually, if he's really dedicated to that line, he's actually flying at supersonic speed, because he has handed himself over to a sheikh. And that sheikh is telling him, like a garment guides a person to a certain destination, turn right, turn left, U-turn. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to a person, but he's following that garment and then he reaches his destination. Do you know what a daunting task that is? To be an adult male who's got so many thousands in the bank or millions, and to be respected in society, and then to sit like a little bird in front of somebody that might not even have 1 billionth of your bank balance, but he's got the balance of akhirat. So these people in the khanqa line, you know, by way of expression, we say we take out our hat for them because they're doing a very good work. They might not be looking as sacrificing so much with their body, but in the line of Islam, there's a 24-hour battle that is carrying on in your mind to keep the niyat right. In other words, my temptation must be controlled, my anger must be controlled, my thoughts must be controlled. Every minute is the teaching of the mashayikh that is governing them. And then you find these people going ahead. So we have to acknowledge these mashayikh that are training the muridin, and we have to acknowledge the muridin that are taking the training from the mashayikh. Then we have the Tablighi Jamaat, whose accolade of praises I don't need to mention. Majority of us are the result of that. Had it not been for the Jamaat work, where will we be today? But nonetheless, these Jamaat brothers who sacrifice Salana, Mahana, Haftawar, Rozana. My dear friends, Allahu Akbar, Allah gave me opportunity to spend few seconds in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not an easy work. You think to leave the family and leave your business and your environment, what you used to, and go and park in Africa is some joke? Or to go even to a modern country, but the amenities are not there, is it easy? And the expense that they incur for one takaza. And my dear friends, at the end of all of this, a person can be 50 years in Tabligh Jamaat, he'll never get one stripe on his shoulder to say you have reached somewhere. In ajriya illa alallah. So what great ikhlas they're working with. So to gain maximum rewards is to acknowledge every jamaat that is working throughout the world. The pedal jamaat, the masturat jamaat, the 3 days jamaat, those that are doing the gush, say they are doing a good work, acknowledge them. To the best of our ability, associate with them. Then we have those that are serving in the social level, example, the Muslim prison board. It's not easy to go into that. Alhamdulillah, I've been invited a few times to associate with people and to hear their gripes and problems and to see them in a condition that they cannot be released. Mostly the social work, the qurbani in the social work of the jamiat and of the Darul Ihsan and of the imdad work and the NGOs that are doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest tolls that is taken by those people is a mental stress that you go through. Because you're seeing 1,000 children waiting for a soup bowl and you only got for 500 people. Do you know what happens to that heart? These people that sit and listen, try to sort out the marital problems, and they have these marital bureaus where they call them and try to, you know, make some sulah. So all of this, we take out our hat for them as well. And then, the hidden walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a burial society that I've been talking about. That these people, you know, Allahu Akbar, whoever is seated here and you are associated to that line, only Allah knows your reward.
They handle things at such a crunch time when your mind don't work because your beloved passed away. Sometime 2 o'clock in the morning, they're releasing the body. I'm telling you what's happening in Durban. But we don't know them. They don't come onto the mimbar of Hilal, you see. They're just like flowers in between the orchards. No one knows where they're growing. But these burial society people, they're doing a very great work. They take out time from their own, you know, and they make this whole department work in which, unfortunately today, many people don't want to even associate with this work. Say, no, I can't touch the body. I mentioned this in the ladies' bayan as well. It's hard and fast coming that direction. Many ladies don't want to give ghusl no more. Who's going to bath us then? Say, automatic shower is going to be made? No, there's so much of things to be done to a mayat that no machine can take care of this. It's got to be done by a human being. So these are the brothers and sisters that behind the scenes, you won't even know them. The only time you see them when the green lights are flashing, that's the time you know who's driving that. But besides that, they're operating behind the scenes. So all these efforts that I've mentioned, those that are taking care of the yatims, Allahu Akbar, to be a mother and father to somebody who lost their parents or their parents abandoned them, do you know what a daunting task that is? So when we look at all these efforts, now that we have a deeper view into it, let's go to the next step. One is I acknowledge that they're doing something. The next step is to appreciate them in this, that we don't find fault with anybody. See, my dear friends, we are human beings. And we're doing the work of deen. Who is doing the work? Human beings who are prone to fault. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ عَجُولًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. We are weak, we are hasty. Our memory doesn't last. So many mistakes we make. We are doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when there's any work of deen that is taking place, that is within the Akabirin's guidelines, that's what I'm saying. In other words, our ulama said, this is the work they're doing, it's good work. It's within the lines. And mistakes take place in that effort. Then immediately look at the worker, not at the work. Then we can have a clear view of all the efforts of deen. So my dear friends, one is the acknowledgement and the appreciation where we don't find faults with anybody. See, when we find faults, I say, hey, that man, what is doing? Just teaching some Quran is a hifz ustad, man. What's so important? He's a muazzin. What he knows? No, brothers, to be a muazzin is not easy. The azan might take 3 minutes, 4 minutes, but to be on time every day, when everyone is sleeping, you have to be awake, see to the duty. I often, when we're breaking, normally we all break our fast in this masjid, I think of muazzin. He must have only drank a glass of water while we have passed our fourth samosa already in the iftar, you know. The qurbani they are doing. The imams also. The ulama also. And all those that are working. So appreciation and acknowledgement that they are working for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then comes association. So if you caught up by now, I'm talking about AAA. In case you forget this bayan, sometimes a person snoozes and he loses. Say, what Maulana spoke about, you know? I was there, but I wasn't there. I'm talking about AAA. AAA, not meat, not anti-aircraft artillery. I'm talking about AAA. Association, appreciation, and acknowledgement. So to the best of our ability now, let's all try and associate with the effort that I can gel with. See, sometimes a person might not be cut out for a certain thing. His tabiat is more to move. So that person will do very well in serving the ummah, you know, in worrying about war-torn areas. He likes to travel, so he can handle that part, you see. Sometimes a person might be a very intelligent person, but grasping and holding on to something to deliver it. So you say, look here, you teach the hifz class, don't teach the alim class. You accepted in the work of deen, but this is how you do. So our association. Now my message this afternoon, my dear beloved ones, is that each and every one of us, to protect ourselves. You see, I'm not saying, hear me clearly, even people who do the work of deen make guna and make mistakes, right? That is, we all know that. But generally you find a person that got no association with any work of deen, he is causing it more than the other ones. You know why? What's the old saying? An idle mind is the devil's workshop. So if we get involved in Allah's workshop, then the mind won't be idle. Because a person is planning his 3 days Jamaat, or he's planning his 40 days Jamaat, or he's planning a pedal Jamaat, or he's planning that how these orphans must be housed, I need to build a structure for them. He's involved in Allah's work, so he can't make sins in a hurry. He's so busy with the program his Shaykh gave him, so many times he must read, La ilaha illallah 5,000. By the time he finished that, he's knocked out, no time for guna. You see, so my message this afternoon is that each and every one of us, alim or non-alim, there's more non-ulama than ulama here. So the message we have to understand is to all of us here. That when we leave from here today, make a niyat. Especially, you know, you make dua in your heart between the khutbah. You'll notice when I give khutbah, I give you a few seconds extra. Not because I can't stand up, it's because some duas are taking place in the heart for myself and for the ummah. You also make amal on that. Instead of waiting, when the second khutbah will start? Allah, accept me for some khidmat of deen. Say inshallah, brothers. Mullah Ibrahim Sahab, Tamat Barakatum, in about 3 safars ago, or 2, I'm trying to remember, nonetheless, he quoted something, he said, Al-khayru kathir wa qaleelun fa'iluhu. Al-khayru kathir wa qaleelun fa'iluhu. This is a very deep explanation, but being a simple man, I give a simple explanation. That good is abundant, but the doers of the good are very few. I've quoted a whole volume of good in front of us. Now we've got our understanding and appreciation and acknowledgement and association. Now it is for us to take it to the next step. So we end our talk here on time, inshallah. That may Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, first of all, give barakat in all the works of deen. And in every work of deen, Allah Ta'ala keep them on the nahaj of the akabirin. In other words, what our akabirin have mentioned, we carry on with that work. How they showed us to do a maktab system, we carry on like that. How they taught us to teach, we teach like that. So then we know those that saw the road, they go. So we Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to function on the pattern of our akabirin. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bless us that we acknowledge, appreciate and associate with all the works of deen. And lastly but not least, may Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq that we look at the good of everybody. In my alma mater, that is Darul Ulum Zakariya, my ustad, Hazrat Mona Shabir Sahab, Damat Barakatum, Allah Ta'ala give him shifa, all our satiza, Allah Ta'ala knows how long we are here, how long they are here. But when we visit them, we can see the sunset is near. In other words, the colors of the beard, the back is bending. Daily when Mona Shabir Sahab, Damat Barakatum, makes dua after the Yasin Sharif Khatam in the morning, there's one particular dua that, hey Allah, hame oro ke erbo se andha kar de. If you understand Urdu, O Allah, blind me to the faults of other people. And O Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq that I can look at my own faults. So the fourth dua that I'm making here, that Allah Ta'ala, let us respect every work of deen, my dear brothers. So that we do not become mahroom, we don't become deprived. Remember that one person, long story short, he was a blacksmith. And if I remember correctly, he was the neighbor of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Ramatullah Ali. And he happened to pass away and they saw him in the very high stages of paradise and Jannat. So the question was that how did you reach there? I mean, what amal did you do? He said, I would look at the vigil and the night effort of tabattul and yearning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Ramatullah Ali. And I would say that I'm a blacksmith. Brothers, you know, certain jobs when you do, it takes a toll on your... Like these people who work on the side of the road, the jackhammer, when they go to sleep, their body pains. Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat, bring them on deen, and pave their road to Jannat. So when you work with metal, it takes a toll on the bones. You heard of tennis elbow? It's hitting, you see. So he used to be tired at the end of the day. And he said that if I had the strength, I would also wake up to make ibadah like Abdullah Mubarak. And he acknowledged him. So on the base on the acknowledgement and the dua, Allah Ta'ala gave him the paradise. So my dear friends, may Allah Ta'ala bless each and everyone with sa'adat idareen. And we continue till the end. And we die doing the work of deen. And we do the work of deen till we die. Sunnat parno. Wa akhir da'wana bil ilaha illallah.